Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, we have some award winners here in the El Paso region. I actually posted this just a few days ago on the Good to Grow page. But at the Texas Tree Conference in Waco earlier, there were a couple of local winners out of the entire state of Texas. You want to maybe give us a hint as to who those were?
Well, I'd say we have actually have two hints that we can give that are very close to home. One of our really great guest that we have on the Good to Grow show, Mr. Oscar Mestas, who's our regional urban forester in our region. He covers the 23 westernmost counties in Texas, a huge area.
I know, like all West Texas, the counties are like humongous.
Exactly.
And then you go east and they're like teeny tiny
right.
counties. So, yeah,
exactly.
He got a lot of miles on his truck.
Very big geographic range. But he was actually awarded the Arborist of the Year. So we're really proud to have somebody like him out here in far west Texas. And he's a big, you know, tree advocate. And mm-hmm. we always need to put in more trees into our urban landscape. So Oscar's been doing this for a while, and it's great to have him recognized by his peers.
UTEP also won itself something called the Gold Leaf Award for Landscape Improvement. And that's part of that whole Centennial Plaza transformation project that they put out there. And we know that our own John White here at UTEP also was very heavily involved in that transformation project. So we kind of give a sideline kudos to John for not being directly recognized, but being sort of, I guess, indirectly recognized there.
Right, exactly. Definitely part of that resource team to be able to put in over 700 trees here on the campus itself. And just by increasing that diversity of the trees that are out here, I think it's like 42 different types of trees.
Wow, amazing.
Were brought into that. So definitely it takes a team of local and regional experts to pull that off. And without these guys that we have here locally, we just be able to get all that recognition and all that benefit that we all get to enjoy as a community for UT El Paso out here.
So there is good news coming out of El Paso we'd like to share.
Yeah.
And I also got a call earlier this week from Matt Carroll of the Friends of the Arroyo, and he passed along the information that the Parks Department is letting the Rose Garden stay open to the public now through the rest of the month.
Yeah, we're definitely working with the Parks Department to be able to extend the season for people to enjoy the Rose Garden as well. And it is open until the end of November, so November 30th. The disclaimer on that is weather permitting.
Yeah.
you know, we look at all of this stuff and planning for seasonal events. We just never know what we're going to expect in November. So for the most part, we've been seeing a lot of extended bloom times. So why not open to the public? If, you know, if it's a drizzly bad day, don't expect it to be open. But it's on the books to be open until November 30th of each season.
And the Municipal Rose Garden, again, is located there near Memorial Park. And the Master Gardeners are usually there when?
Yeah, the Master Gardeners are usually there Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at the Rose Garden. And then come early January, and we'll remind our listeners that they're going to start pruning all of the 1,400 rose bushes in the garden to get it ready for spring. So keep an eye out if you're interested in learning how to prune your own rose bushes. You can go out there and learn directly from the Master Gardeners.
The roses right now are just going kind of crazy. I know with the extra rain that we've had in the recent weeks, I know my roses are looking probably better than ever.
Right, exactly. So they do really bounce back in the fall if you're continuously deadheading during the summer. But yeah, this nice mild temperatures, pretty stable temperatures have really extended that bloom life because they're allowed to fully open before the weather starts changing. So, and also those nice the rain cleans off the foliage. So it just gives it a whole new look, a revitalization of your garden bed. So it's great.
So hopefully we'll see some more people down at the Rose Garden here throughout the month of November. Well, another thing we've been talking about here on Good to Grow is the Sun Country Landscape Conference, and that's going to be happening later in the month. And Denise, I know that the early registration got actually extended.
Yeah, we're actually having early registration until November the 17th, so you definitely have enough time to be able to lock in that early registration without additional penalties. It's a three-day event. It's certainly a menu of options for people to pick from. It starts from Thursday, November the 19th, and runs runs the 20th and the 21st. If you are interested in coming in and touring the Centennial Plaza and that transformation project that we talked about earlier, the Friday program includes a tour of those gardens. So if you're want to get a chance to an excuse to come down to campus and visit that, you can join us for our program and take that tour.
And the one that we're really encouraging our listeners to take part of is sort of that community conference day that's happening on Saturday, November 21st. That's going to be at the El Paso Garden Center on Grant. And that's going to be from 8:30 to 12, so a nice half-day event happening for homeowners. And you can lock in that early registration fee of $15. And I think that's a really terrific option if you want to learn how to take care of your trees. We're always getting questions about trees, and this is another perfect way to learn more. And it seems like, you know, more and more we're learning about all these different opportunities for our listeners to learn about trees, about gardening, you know, all the stuff that the master gardeners are coming up with. And then events such as this, there's really no shortage of places that you can go and resources you can connect with to learn about how to plant and garden well in the desert.
Yeah, we work really hard to make all those happen for you. So please take advantage of those opportunities.
And the information on the Sun Country Landscape Conference, by the way, is available here at the radio station. It's also on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, today we're going to be talking about a lot of the things going on in the month of November. We talked about this a little bit last week, touched upon a few gardening tips for November. Right. And what are a few other things that maybe we should be thinking about this month to do in our yard?
Oh, definitely. Well, I was looking here at some of the phone calls that we got from the help desk, from the Master Gardener help desk. And just before we even start our question and answers, I just want to remind everybody that our help desk is going to be closing towards the middle of November.
Oh, okay.
Which means that the Master Gardeners are not going away or not, you know, settling down for the season. They still will be available, but it'll be online via email correspondence. Okay. So if you want to make sure that you get your questions and photos into them that way they can answer the questions. And always you can certainly call the extension office and we'll be able to also help you as well. So just keep that in mind.
So what's on people's minds this month?
So people are wondering about what to do during the fall and the winter. So we had a question here from Chris who wanted to know when is a good time to plant garlic? And that's definitely now.
Oh, good.
So you can definitely get a whole bunch of different types of garlic, mail order, or even buying some garlic from the grocery store, believe it or not.
You could just stick it in the ground?
So you got to separate it. So you got to separate the cloves, right? And always remember what's right side up.
And so, I guess if you leave garlic in the fridge long enough, right, you'll actually start to see it sprout.
Exactly. It definitely does that. So you want to make sure that you have the right side up. So the way you see it in the grocery store, in the pile, you kind of have like a little pointed tip here on the top and then those roots kind of coming off in the bottom, right? Keep it that same side up, pointy to the top, and get that in there into your ground about a 1 inch deep.
Because you can kind of look at a garlic bulb and you can kind of see where the base is, right?
Yeah.
And the pointy tips are at the top and you want to plant the pointy tips up.
Okay. Always. So you don't want to do that about 1 inch deep. And they really like nitrogen fertilizers. So you want to make sure that you give them like ammonium sulfate or something that's going to be high in nitrogen about every 3 weeks. If the weather stays pretty stable, you may even start seeing some green tops coming up. Just let it be. And continue doing that fertilizing regime until early spring. And by May, you'll be able to pull out that garlic from the ground and be able to see brand new garlic for your use.
So since garlic is underground, how do you know when it's ready?
Well, that's really interesting because those tops that are going to come out, they're going to start to kind of like tilt over and start kind of like
flopping over.
Okay. Exactly.
And once they flop over in May, that's when it's time to pull it out.
Exactly, because they're going to start flopping over and drying out. And then you don't want it to start sending in a flower stalk. You don't want it to start bolting is what the term is, because that'll send the energy from going to making the formation to the cloves to the actual flower. So
interesting.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting too, if you want to be able to grow garlic. And there's all different types, hard neck, soft neck garlic. You know, take a look around. If you have any questions, let us know. It's all, I think, I love garlic, so it doesn't really...
I've seen that giant elephant garlic.
Yeah.
That would be cool to plant.
I think so too, right? And some people also really like either the bright white color as well, but there's also some other pink colors and even purple colors. So it just really depends. And it's kind of a nice way to kind of extend your, you know, vegetable gardening bed. And it'll be actively growing, but not so much tending to it so intensively like you do your summer vegetable crops.
I'm going to have to try that. All right. What else are people thinking about?
Oh, also people are thinking about planting daffodils. We got a question here from Jeanette asking, when do daffodils need to be planted? November's a good time to be able to plant your daffodils as well. And then a really good way to be able to get or maximize the blooms, if you will, is kind of put them tightly planted in like a window box or in a large container.
Yeah, normally you don't think about tightly planting a lot of things, right? Because that would seem against rational thought, but I guess with bulbs such as daffodils, you do want to kind of encourage them to go together.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. And then that way you can kind of get, their roots are not going to be that extensive because it's all kind of concentrated into that bulb and then it sends out that flower stalk. But then that way, plant them as tightly as you can in the container itself. And then once those blooms do come up, you're going to get a really showy display, a really great striking display of your daffodils.
And they're so beautiful, just that bright yellow, and there's so many different varieties.
Yes, you know what? I like the little mini yellow ones. They're so cute. They remind me of like little ducks. I don't know why.
Well, they do kind of have that little that little spout.
Right.
What about, I know that usually we chill certain bulbs. I know daffodils don't necessarily have to be chilled, but if you wanted something like a tulip, which does have to chill prior to putting it in the ground, should you have already done that, or when's a good time to do that?
Yeah, you should pretty much be chilling them right now.
Okay.
And then getting them into the ground itself, because our air temperatures may get below freezing, but our soil never gets that low as well. So you don't necessarily have to chill the daffodils, like you said, but the other ones, you want to make sure that you give them enough time.
When do you want to take them out of the fridge?
It depends on which types of bulbs that you're trying to grow. Like your tulips, you want to make sure that you start getting them out here towards the end of the month and then get them into the ground. Because there's a lot of great little bulbs that you can just play around with, or don't cheat and buy one from the store. Try it.
To start one from scratch.
Exactly.
Okay, so I snuck a peek at one of your other questions in these last couple of minutes that we have together. I understand there's a trend from the 70s that's starting to come back.
Yes, people are excited about wanting to have terrariums. I don't know. It's like we have limited outdoor space. People want to bring plants into their living area. So you want to make sure that you have your charcoal as part of your terrarium.
Charcoal?
There's some charcoal that get in your potting mix. It's a specialty potting mix you got to get from the garden center. You want to make sure that you line your terrarium with some nice large rocks. That's going to add into the drainage. And pretty much any house plant that you like, that you want to try, can be placed into a terrarium as well.
And it's kind of like a fishbowl for plants, right?
It is like a fishbowl for plants, exactly. So you can get as artsy or as, minimalistic with your terrarium or however you want to do. So it's a really nice kind of creative outlet if you'd like to be able to bring that in. But yeah, any kind of plants will do, well. You can have to trim them and keep them down and small and miniature, and maybe not a terrarium style, but even succulents, bringing them into a sunny window would be good, especially now at the colder temperatures as well. So all kind of like neat things kind of like coming back to style. So I'm excited to see that. I don't care what you grow, just grow something.
Well, we're out of time, but if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, make sure that you call them at 771-2354. That's 771-2354. And as Denise was saying, the Master Gardeners will not be available to take your calls live later in the month, but go ahead and leave a message there or contact them via email. That information is on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank Lauren Terrazas and Evan Walsh for helping engineer today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.